Let the church say amen.
Amen.
It is good to be here on tonight. Certainly good to see all of you who have come, who have desired to hear God's word. It is good to be standing among the giants of the Lord. Amen. And I'm just so thankful, and once again want to thank the church for its leadership and for their invitation. And thank you for your hospitality and all the accommodations. It's very, very nice of you. Thank you so much. I'm going to be mindful of the time tonight. And but just let me say, I called Brother Lon Brown today and I wanted a little accessory to go with my suit. And so I asked Brother Lon where the nearest, I call them Soul Train shops. We don't have any Soul Train shops at home. The nearest Soul Train shop is about 145 miles away. Amen. So when I go out of town, I have to find me a Soul Train shop and go in. And Lauren gave me the information where one was, and I was going right down that way. But right after I hung up with Brother Lauren, my sister called. And she said that she just had a text on her phone with the clothing store K&G.
Yes, sir.
And she said they had a sale going on. You buy one suit, you get two suits free. 30 seconds later, I was at White Oak. Amen. And I took advantage of that deal. And I talked to my wife. I told her I went and brought a few more suits. And she said, "Boy, you love them suits, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I love my suits for two reasons. Number one, I don't wear a suit but on the Lord's Day. But I also wear a suit just in case I preach a bad sermon. At least I can look good." Amen. You have a brother with Brother Hudson. What did he preach a good sermon today? Brother said, "Well," said, "but he looked good. He looked good." Amen. And so I get them from talking about that bad sermon, and now they're talking about how I'm dressed. Amen. But it's just been wonderful, and it's been prosperous, and I've been trying to evangelize and just talk to everybody about the saving grace of God. On tonight, I want to deal with Psalms 93. It's a very short psalm, but it's very powerful. I want to deal with Psalms 93. Psalms 93 is what is commonly called a theocratic or an enthronement psalm, all the way from Psalms 93 all the way to Psalm 100. Those five psalms is a song of enthronement. And I thought it might be good to touch up on that because of the subject matter we got tonight. God still rules. So if I were to give this message a title, it would probably be "When Evil Forces Seem to Win, Remember Who Rules." When evil forces seem to win, remember who rules. By all appearances, our world is spinning out of control. Looking at the local news here in Richmond, tragedy after tragedy. One young lady tried to break up a fight and she got shot herself. It's just so much going on in this world. We have wars, and now with the war with Syria and Russia getting involved, and it's just so much going on at this time. Terrorism. Not only terrorism abroad, but terrorism homegrown. And the Bible talks about how that you have folk who are so willing to kill, like the killing in Las Vegas. I think 58 was killed. That was a lot of folk to kill. It looked like you would get tired once you get to about the 20th person. 58 people. Homegrown terrorism. All kinds of violence, hatred, and gross immorality. And even the persecution of Christians, even though our persecution is a different way. But these all prompt us to ask the question whether or not this lawless planet perhaps has it slipped out of the arms of God and has it slipped out of his fingers. Is it past redemption? Well, Psalms 93 reminds us that God is still in control. My objective tonight is to celebrate God's sovereignty. In spite of everything happening in the world, in this world, verse 1 of Psalms 93 says that God still reigns. He still rules. He's still on the throne. His word is sure, and his holy kingdom will endure forever. Jesus said himself, Matthew 16:18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this psalm of enthronement, it is really a psalm of theocracy, because theocracy is a form of government in which God is recognized as the supreme ruling authority who gives divine guidance to humans that manages our day-to-day affairs. Why? Because Israel was a theocracy. God was her king, and these psalms rejoices in that relationship. Not only do we exalt God as reigning over Israel, but they exalt God as reigning and ruling over the whole earth. And as Christians scattered all over the world, and many times we live under different forms of government, regardless of the nation in which we make our earthly home, we as Christians must remember that we are citizens of another country. And that country is a theocracy. According to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says that our conversation is in heaven. In other words, our citizenship is in heaven. We're merely strangers and pilgrims in this world, ambassadors on a mission for our heavenly King. Sometimes people ask me where I live, and I tell them, well, I'm stationed in Metropolis. I don't live there. I'm stationed there because I'm always at war. Amen? And so we are ambassadors. I believe someone read that scripture yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and about verse 20. But we're soldiers in the Lord's army. We're battling it against evil forces of Satan. Matter of fact, when they got on Paul's case in the 2 Corinthians letter in chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, Paul, they tried to prompt Paul to act worldly or carnal. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, he said, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal. He said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he said in verse 5, he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity everything to the obedience of Christ. Good answer, Paul. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we all know, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Watch this. For we wrestle, or our struggle, or not with flesh and blood, with evil forces, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When evil forces seem to win, remember that God still rules. And although we might lose some battles, this psalm reminds us that the Lord will win the war. When evil forces seem to win, remember that God still rules. Let us look at verse 1 and 2. Now I want to go through the scripture and get a few points and the lesson will be yours. Psalms 93, verse 1 and 2. That's what it says right off. The Bible says, the Lord reigneth. You know, that's that Greek word, malach. That word means to ascend to a throne. The Lord reigns. The Lord ascends to the throne. Why? Because nobody gives God authority to be on the throne. Nobody puts him on the throne. There's nobody else with that type of authority to put the Lord on the throne. And if you got a judge, somebody gave that judge power to rule and to make judgment. But the Bible says that God just ascends to his throne because he is almighty. Then the writer wants us to know that God is clothed in majesty. In other words, God is clothed in excellence. Isn't that good? To know that everything that God does is excellent. Everything. His judgment is excellent. His opinions are excellent. His word is excellent. The way he deals with his enemies are excellent. The way he deals with his friends are excellent. Everything about the Lord is excellent. Amen, somebody. And it said, wherewith he have girded himself. Why? Because nobody else can gird him. Nobody else can compass him. In other words, God has compassed himself or surrounded himself with majesty. And the writer said, the Lord is clothed with strength. The world is also established that it cannot be moved. Verse 2. That throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. In other words, God's throne didn't have a beginning. In other words, his throne nobody created. Amen. Isn't that something? And you know, there's times that I read verses like this, and I can't quite understand it. But I believe it. Can't quite understand it because we live in this world, and just about in this world, everything pretty much have a beginning. We can't fathom how there was no beginning with God. So the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord is clothed with majesty. In other words, with holiness, with righteousness, with loving kindness, and with glory. No other king can compare with God. That's why everything in heaven is perfect. And nothing on earth is perfect. That's why in order for us to dwell with God, we've got to be perfect, and we're perfect through Jesus. But nothing on this earth is perfect. But everything in heaven is perfect. Psalms 104 and 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. In other words, the Lord is omnipotent. Secondly, the psalmist described our sovereign God as clothed with strength. In other words, God is almighty. He has all the power. And his power is unlimited. And despite the best efforts of the world's most powerful people, God's creation, as he said in the text, cannot be shaken or moved. You know, at times it might seem that our world is falling apart. But I want you to know that God has firmly established this world. And that's what the Bible says. He holds it together by his powerful word. How do you know, Brother Antoine? Well, when I read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he says that God is upholding all things by the power of his word. Third, the psalmist declared that our sovereign God reigns and he has no beginning. So since no one gave God a beginning and gave God the power, guess what? Nobody can take it away. He rules by his own power. He rules by his own authority. No one else's. I'm so glad. And whether people acknowledge him or not, guess what? He's still king. He's still God. He's still on the throne and he still rules. His throne and reign cannot be moved from out of his control. We live in perilous times. And we can expect conditions to worsen as we draw closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I believe that. I really do. Nevertheless, we can hope in the truth that God is supreme and God is still on the throne. You know what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 4? He said, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. But I thought about that and did a little research on it. I said, wait a minute, there were perilous times in Paul's days. So what do you mean they shall come? You already dealt with perilous times. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians. And so what Paul was saying, as time goes on, and perilous times simply means troublesome times, difficult times, hard times. So what Paul is saying, watch it, as time goes on, it's going to become more difficult to be a child of God. It's going to become more difficult to be a child of God. I don't know if any of y'all know a radio talk host, Joe Madison. He did the NAACP. He was the keynote speaker. And he said something that caught my attention. He said, when I was a little boy, he said I was on drugs. So the crowd reacting just like y'all reacting. Kind of shocked. He said, yeah, on Sunday I got drugged to church. Every time the neighbors needed a grass cut, I got drugged to the neighbor's house. Whenever I acted up, I got drugged to the woodshed. He was drugged everywhere. Drugged to choir practice. Hey, man. And he said, you know, those drugs did me good. He said, matter of fact, those drugs are still in me. Those drugs are better than any cocaine, than any marijuana. Amen. Yes, those are some good drugs. And I thought about that. In our generation, there was a lot of those drugs going around. Amen. Whenever I got disobedient, my grandmother, she was sick, and she would tell you, you know, when I feel better, I'm going to get you. And she would. A day that she felt better, she would get you. I remember one day I just started cutting up in the bathroom. And she cut me up. But those days are not here anymore. Amen. Times are changing. Whenever one of them I call one of them daycare children, I say, hey. They say, what? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What? I said, those are fighting words. You don't say what? You said, pardon me. Yes, sir. And no, ma'am. Amen. We do a whole lot of reteaching. Why? Because things are changing. Bible says, in the last times, men will be lovers of their own self, selfish, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Saw a little boy in the this morning in the hotel. In the breakfast area. And the way he was talking to his dad. Well, I tell you what, I had to chain my feet down. I wanted to go over. He talking about need of control. My wife tells some of them, take them kids off of those drugs that they on. And I said, yeah, tell them parents, I got a lot of Ritalin right here. I keep Ritalin, amen. I keep Ritalin, hey, amen, I keep Ritalin. Yeah, then I keep a little bail money in my pocket. Amen. Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead on, tell the man. I got some bail money. Get me out of jail. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers. Incontinent, in other words, lack of self-control. Fierce. That's how people kill folk, they know. Fierce. Despisers of those that do good, traitors, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, despite all that he is still on the throne. Times will change. Therefore, what are we to do? one thing Paul told Timothy to do, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I'm going to continue to be a Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter because God is still on the throne. God made the world and all the things in it. And the Lord is the Lord of heaven and earth and dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Acts 17 and 24. Secondly, let's celebrate God's mighty power. Listen to it in verse 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord is on high. Watch this. And is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yeah, than the mighty waves of the sea. What is the psalmist telling us? He's praising God for the mighty power, all that strikes fear in our hearts. See, the water strikes fear in our hearts. When the water comes, it takes everything away. It moves your house. It kills folks. It takes down buildings. We fear. Matter of fact, cities have to be evacuated when we know that the floods are coming. But we need to understand that God is greater and more powerful than any fear, amen, that we may have. And we experience fear every day, some kind of level of fear. But I try to remind myself that God is working all things out and it's all in God's control. Amen. That whatever happens, it's in God's control. And without question, life in our sin-cursed world is filled with danger. Guess what? And we are powerless over most of it. These poor folk in El Paso wanted to go just to buy their kids some school supplies, Brother Green. And went into Walmart. Many of them never came out because of the deranged mind. We're powerless. Those folk were powerless over those bullets. Couldn't save them kids. They couldn't save themselves. But I want you to know that God is on the throne. And we are protected by his surpassing power. So don't worry, church. This psalmist, he uses the raging water as an example of the powerful, terrifying forces we face in life. And sometimes we really face some terrifying forces in life. In other words, sometimes we really go through some things. Amen. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we go through some things, and sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do anybody really understand what we're going through? My uncle, that he was my secret admirer. I didn't grow up with a father and no type of father in the home. And so he was one of my secret admirers. I liked the way he operated, you know. And so I was a little bit too ashamed to ask some of the guys I used to hang out with about certain things. And so I had my little secret admirers, you know. Didn't want them to know that I was a little dumb about certain things. You know, boys will be boys. And it was just so sad. I helped him to go to the bathroom. I literally had to help pick him up and just walk very slowly. His wife had to undress him so he could use the bathroom. This man that moved around, that had a lot of discipline, that raised his children up in the right way. And his wife, she had her right hand was full of arthritis, and she could barely disrobe him of his clothes. Sometimes we just don't know what people are going through. Amen. And so when folk come into church building, I try to hug everybody. Amen. So, you know, sweetheart, I'm sorry. If I smell like somebody's perfume, I'm sorry. I just hug everybody. I'm hugging everybody if I can, because I just want you to know. You just never know what people are going through today. But I do want you to know that I don't care how raging the seas are. I don't care what the forces of nature are. When we're powerless against pounding current of the river, of the flooded river, and the crushing waves of an angry sea. When the seas are raging, it represents what we fear. But just understand that God is still in control. God is greater and mightier than the destructive forces of both nature and of people. While the destructive nature of people might be mighty, the Lord is mightier by far. The most furious of earth elements and the salvage evildoers are no match for the Lord. The Lord calms the sea, and he can overcome the tempest in our lives. The perils of the world, such as catastrophic natural disaster, tyrannical governments, terrorism, violent gain, deadly diseases, and many more. Yet God has commanded us to live, not to live in fear of those dangers. Instead, he wants us to be controlled by his spirit and trust the Lord and his love and his power that's in us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, but of love, and of a sound mind. Joshua 1 and 9 says, he says, have I not commanded thee? This was a commandment to Joshua, be strong. He didn't just encourage Joshua. He commanded Joshua to be, because God could not carry out his plans in Joshua's life if Joshua had not been strong and of good courage. He said, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Isaiah 43 and 2 said, when thou passest through the waters, God said, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, he said, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because God is our helper. We need not to fear. And guess what, church? The more we practice that, the easier it becomes. Amen? Hebrews 5 and 6, at the end, the Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, for now I will not fear what man shall do to me. So we need to learn that God has the power, and we can endure all things. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. In other words, God will give us everything that we need. He will equip us for whatever we need to get his job done. Amen. And so even in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26 and 7, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, why are you so fearful, ye of little faith? See, at times Jesus says, where is your faith? Another time he says, you got little faith. And then, but he says, oh, ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then the men marveled. They were talking among each other, and they said, who? What manner? Come on, my brother. What manner of man is this? What kind of man is this? He's Jesus. He's God's son. He is God in the flesh. So whatever Jesus did, whatever God can do, Jesus can do as well. And the Bible says, now watch this. I like this verse. I'll be real quick. Ephesians 3:20, he said, now to him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Wait a minute, hold on. God is able to do above all that we can ask. In other words, we cannot ask God to do anything that he's not able to do. We can't even imagine or think about anything that God cannot do. That's powerful. That's a powerful statement. You mean I can imagine some of the greatest things? God, can you take all the planets of all the worlds and put them together in a state? Can you do that, Lord? Yeah, I can do it. That's a powerful verse. That's what kind of God that we're dealing with, church. I heard a voice, as it were the great voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent, he reigneth. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. He reigneth, he rules. Point one, I talked about acknowledge God's supremacy. Point two, I've talked about celebrating God's power. And lastly, we need to thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God that we can depend on him. Isn't that something? Thank God that we can depend on him. We can't depend on anybody else, no matter how sincere they are. We can't depend on them. And it's nothing like it's better to have God and not need him than to need him and not have him. There's a lot of folk just want to wait till the last minute to receive God. But we now only got to thank God for the good stuff. But we thank him for when things are not going as well as we would like. Amen. Because we can see by and by that God is still working. And just like in my life, and I know it happens in your life, every now and then God just will sneak up and do something to let you know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still working it out. Huh? I'm still working in your life. And I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. I remember when we went down to Southwestern Christian College, you know, we loaded up that wagon, and I'm telling literally, we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. And I said, and I stopped, and they picked me up last. And I said, Pop Terry, you got wire coming out of your tire. And I had to go buy a used tire to put on that. But then the beautiful woman that I'm married to now, when I did my internship with her father, and she had a car on the side that had broken down. And I had a little money from my retirement, the job I was on from the previous 12 years. And so I need to fix that car up, if you don't mind, and take that back with me to Southwestern. And so she said I could. And so I took that car and asked for a transmission man. And so she hooked me up with one of the best transmission men in Rockford, Illinois. So I went in there and got it, transmission put in. But what happened, he was good, but he let an alcoholic work on the car. And I went to go in the gas station one day and got in the gas station. And then I put it in drive and tried to pull forward, and it wouldn't go forward. So, man. I said, man. So I put it in reverse, and it went back. Let me show you how God worked. Right next door to the gas station was a transmission shop. So I put it in reverse, backed up into the transmission shop. I walked in the transmission shop, and literally, you could eat off the floor. Now, I said, if anybody keep a shop that clean, that's who I want to work on my car. And so he fixed that transmission. I explained to him that I was a student in school and all that stuff. And if he could wait about a week or so, I suppose they'd been getting a check from school. And let me tell you how God works. The very amount that a car costs to get fixed, $501. Guess what my check was I got from school? $501. I said, Lord, you're talking to me now. And that car ran and ran and ran and ran until I sold it. It was still running and running. I said, God, you're good. I can remember a time when my daughter, she needed braces. And so we got braces. But what happened? She had a couple of little teeth that just wouldn't come through. And so the dentist said, well, what I need to do, I need to put braces on her, but she's going to have braces on again. And those braces was $7,000 a whop. So he put those braces on. It cost me $7,000. He gave me a little discount for being a preacher. I thank you. And then her tooth grew in or whatever it did. And it was time for another second round. Another $7,000. And lo and behold, that's right. I got another check. $7,000. That's why I told that guy that she's dating, when y'all get married, you owe me $14,000. I paid $14,000 for that smile. You going to pay me for that smile. Amen. Amen. You going to pay me for that smile. Amen. That's the Lord's smile there. That's God's smile. But thank God for his faithfulness. And I'm done. Listen to verse 5. He said, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. In other words, the writer is talking about God's character and God's integrity and the foundations of God's reign or his rule. In other words, he's telling us, don't worry, God is unchangeable. He said, don't worry, God is holy. Don't worry, his word is eternal, unquestionably trustworthy. You can trust God. That's what he's saying. And then he concluded in Psalms 93 that by praising the faithfulness of God's sovereignty. He said his laws, his words are sure. Matthew chapter 25, he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40:8, he said, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. Then the second part of that verse, he talks about God's house, God's presence and reign are holy and eternal. And so he says, he declares God's house will adorn forever by his absolute holiness. What does this mean? This means that we can only dwell in God's presence when we are holy as well. We can only dwell in God's house if we are righteous. We can only dwell in God's house if we are morally pure. And we live lives. That's why Hebrews 12 and 14 at the end of that verse says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Like God's word, holiness is eternal. Cannot fail. So I'm not worried tonight. You're not worried tonight. What might befall us? Because God is still in control. And I believe that. I believe no matter what happens, his word stands firm, even in difficult times. His word stands firm. We can trust the Lord. Everybody else might fail us. I can recall the Apostle Paul when he was going through his trial. He said at my preliminary hearing, he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. What do you mean, Paul? That's a terrible feeling. When friends forsake you. Jesus, all that he did, asked the disciples, can you stay with me? Stay woke. Just stay woke with me just for 1 hour. Sound like me talking to my wife. Just sometimes we were looking at a movie and so forth, and then I'll say a word, and oh, man, you sleep. I thought we were going to look at this movie. And they just fell asleep. Couldn't say, whoa. God would never forsake us. He would never leave us. Amen. But I want you tonight, know tonight, that God is still in control. Look at not what we can see, but we need to look at what we can read and what we can understand and what the Word of God says. God's Word is final. And guess what? God's Word is going to accomplish whatever it said that it will accomplish. By way of invitation, the Bible says that God is long-suffering. In other words, God is patient. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us war, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what I want to say tonight is that, Lord, give us the patience to grow as a Christian. Give us the patience. Be patient with us as we grow and grow in you and become spiritual. Give us patience as we deal with how to be mothers and how to be fathers, give us a little patience. Give us some of your long suffering. Give us some patience. But Lord, also help us to not be disobedient and take advantage of your patience. Help us, Heavenly Father, not to take advantage of your patience. God is patient. Perhaps somebody here tonight, God is patient with you. God's not willing that anybody should perish. He wants all of us to come to repentance. Perhaps you're out of fellowship with God. And that's a scary thought. Because life can take us out in a blink of an eye. We might think that we got time to ask God to forgive us. Not so. Not so. That is just not so. The time is right now. You know something? I've lived in sin. I lived out of sin. I've not been committed, but I have been committed and is committed now. Living out of sin is better. Living as a committed Christian is better. Because every now and then God just walk up to me, give me a blessing I just didn't even ask for. God does something for my family I just didn't ask for. God will put the right people in your life that you just didn't ask for. Folk would walk up to you and tell you things. You say, you know something? I needed that. Oh, I appreciate that. I remember I was in the barbershop and the church had got me some some medical insurance from State Farm. Well, State Farm, really, they're not in the medical insurance business. And God sent this, I had to go in for some tests, and God sent this nurse to me. She said, well, Miss Austin, do you know that the only way State Farm would pay for this treatment if they find something? But if they don't find anything, you are responsible. I said, ooh, that's some good information. I said, thank you. Yeah. I said, well, put away your little equipment. Because I'm gone. Amen. Because I know if they didn't find anything, man, I was going to pay some money. Amen. Won't making too much money anyway. And so I was in the barbershop talking, told somebody that story. They said, well, aren't you a veteran? Yes, I'm a veteran. They said, well, won't you get some VA medical care? So, man, yeah. So I went down and applied, and I got some VA medical care. God knows who to put in your life. He knows how to bless you. And then they found something going on with my liver that I had when I was a little boy. Didn't know it. Thank God I didn't like whiskey. Man, I'd probably be dead. Yeah, when we was coming up, they said, don't give him no beer. He's going to waste it. Get hot on me. I didn't drink. I just didn't like it. This tastes bad. I put some sugar in it or something. I don't. But they gave me a treatment that got rid of the problem. That treatment was, I took a pill that cost $1,000. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And so I took it for 3 months. $90,000. Guess how much I paid? I'm telling you what I know. God is good. And that's why I want to stay in fellowship with God. I need to stay in the light, because as long as I'm in the light, darkness can't reach me. Darkness is scared when you're in the light. It's only when you're in darkness. Get out of darkness. Get out of not being in fellowship with God. You shouldn't care what people say. Get your life right tonight with the Lord. Don't play with God. Salvation is too serious. Get your life right. God knows how to bless you because he's still on the throne. When your enemies. And you know, and as a minister, you know, you go through some issues sometimes. Some of your best friends will betray you. People will talk about you. Can't find nothing good to say about you. Come on, somebody. Try to make it hard for you. There's envy. There's jealousy. There's all kinds of issues that you go through. Dealing with difficult people. Dealing with folk that are just stubborn. But every time that happens, when someone says something negative, somebody come up to me and say something positive. So for every great trial, there's a great answer with God. And that's because you got to stay in fellowship with God. But if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the day that you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. On Wednesday night, a little bit ago, we had to get the police to come into our church building and to teach us what was the best defense against to try to prevent an enraged shooter from coming in and shooting us up. And so we got our little plan together on how we were to act if some shooter would come in and try to kill everybody. We just don't know. You're not safe anywhere. Not safe in your home. Not safe at school. You're not safe in the movie house. You're not even safe in the church house. Get your life together tonight with the Lord. You come by hearing God's word, hearing about Jesus Christ, what he did for us. He provided salvation for us. He done took care of the sin problem. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent for your sins. Confess the Lord and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will certainly add you to his family, which is his church. So if you're subject to the invitation, I remember the words of Brother Brown, no talking unless you're talking to somebody about the Lord. No walking unless you're walking to receive the Lord. Amen. So right now we're going to ask you, please stand and make a decision to get your life right with the Lord. Amen.
Come from the lonesome way of sin, I do.